Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Friday, 31st day of August, 2012. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Hard to believe we're going to be in the ninth month of 2012. It will not be the end of the world December 21st, unless they start a nuclear war with Russia. Maybe that is their plan. I've always said it wouldn't be the end of the world, but government's digging in like it's going to be the end of the world. Who knows? The Fruit Loops running the New World Order might think little green men are going to land December 31st. I don't know anymore. I just don't like the fact it's on, I mean, it's in the culture so much that my 8-year-old daughter, she's not 8 yet, but going to be 8 soon, is like, so is it the end of the world on December 31st? No, I don't believe it is. Maybe the end of the world as we know it, as the song goes, it's the end of the world as we know it. And I don't feel fine. I started getting into this. We're going to get to Colonel Schaefer coming up in the next segment on a host of issues. But Minneapolis military drills based around confrontation scenarios. Minneapolis records clerk, she's the clerk of records, Melissa Hill tells the Star Tribune she fears people are being conditioned to accept a police state. That's a quote. As military exercises in the city involve Black Hawk helicopters based around confrontation scenarios continue to stir intrigue and concern. And you got to train the special forces to go up against the American people. And they're already helping guard the opium they ship in. Why not? Asked about the exercises, which have been ongoing all week in downtown Minneapolis, Hill responded, "To me, it's really frightening. Military copters flying around in our airspace in an urban setting. It's kind of conditions people to accept the police state." Yeah, before they invaded Panama, for a year they did drills. So the military stood down when they attacked. As we reported on Tuesday, footage of the drill showed Black Hawk choppers hovering between skyscrapers and circling over the Avenue Bridge. The exercises are being run by an elite military unit based in Florida called the U.S. Special Operations Command in coordination with Minneapolis police. Yeah, train the police to work with the military. And if I see one more police chief, every time you see your police chief or cops on the news going, "Civilians have been helping us deal with this," you know, that voice, you need to call the talk station, call the mayor. I hear our mayor here in Austin all the time going, "Civilians have been helping." You're a civilian, punk. You're not a 4-star general. You want to be a general? Move to Latin America where every mayor wears little, you know, general outfits. Okay? I mean, I'm tired of it. You're not a general. You're not a colonel. You're not any of those things. And the police, we're a paramilitary organization to enforce federal edicts. And you are a slimebag civilian. Do you understand me, boy? I mean, that is the attitude. That is not freedom. That is not liberty. That is not America. Okay? End of story. And they just henpeck us with civilian, civilian, civilian. And now they've got the military merging with the police. You got the police dressing like the military. I mean, it is a joke. It is a joke. And the big question is, what is the giant gear up for? The civil unrest, all of it. I didn't even get into earlier when I was talking about all the signs of the police state. Army FM 3-39.40 internment resettlement operations. And the media is like, well, that's for overseas. Yeah, it's a manual for overseas. In fact, guys, we pulled the whole stack yesterday. It's got the manual, everything in there. Well, you bring that into me. It's a whole stack of FEMA camp stuff. Because, you know, right there. It says, oh, well, you will process Americans in the 10 FEMA regions, you know, with their Social Security numbers. You got to single out the political troublemakers and put them in other areas of the camp. I mean, it's all there. The military is training to put us in camps. Now, we're going to get into geopolitical issues with Colonel Schaefer, Iran, Syria, what the big gear-ups, the 1.4 billion bullets. Is the October surprise that, or what is government running around like they're preparing for World War III or something with the American people? What is his take on that, if he'll talk about it? On the other side, I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Alex Jones here with a very important announcement for Truth Seekers. We've carried a lot of amazing films and books over the years on the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And out of all the titles we've carried, one stands out because it is just so chillingly convincing. And that's Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert, available at InfoWars.com. This film exposes the fraud that Obama is like nothing I've seen. If you want to know who Obama's real daddy is, this is the film for you. Don't forget, your purchase supports our broadcast and our growing media network. You'll also find at InfoWarsShop.com, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the book that woke me up. We're also carrying Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey. This book is coffin nails to the globalist takeover. The Greater Good, the most professional and up-to-date film I've ever seen, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. These titles and a lot more are all available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Ali-C and Ali-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Ali-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Ali-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Ali-C or Ali-Ban from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG clubs and survival bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, welcome back to another hour of InfoWars. I'm Alex Jones. We've got Congressman Walter Jones joining us in the second half of the next hour to get into legislation to begin impeachment against any president that openly announces that the military chain of command is NATO, UN, president under that, and then Congress doesn't even exist. He's been officially saying that now for 2 years in letters, statements, and actions. In fact, we'll get Colonel Schaefer's take on that as well. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is joining us here in just a moment. In fact, he's online right now. I want to get into Iran. Is the attack, because he's got all the sources inside all the different CENTCOMs, you name it. I mean, I know he probably knows the latest, but is unable to tell us, but he can hint at that. I don't think they're fully decided yet if there'll be a strike on Iran or it'll be covert operations. You've got Al-Qaeda and other groups openly being funded in Syria. The carnage of Libya that Colonel Schaefer predicted the way it would go, it certainly went that way, handing it over to a bunch of jihadis. Thousands of missiles missing. We're going to get into that. What does he make of this Navy SEAL book that I think the White House probably wrote and claims that it's some, gnome de plume so they can put out their election propaganda? What does Colonel Schaefer think about that? What is his take on just all the different things that are happening? Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is a highly experienced intelligence officer. I could have killed bin Laden repeatedly, but was ordered to stand down. Ran Stratus Ivy, Able Danger, whistle blew to Congress, successfully defeated their demonization campaign. He's a recipient of the Bronze Star with 25 years of field experience. Tony has commanded and directed several key operational intelligence organizations. In the 80s, he was a counterintelligence officer and worked to monitor Soviet military forces visiting the United States during the INF Treaty. Well, now they're just letting him into NORAD and trained to fight American terrorists with them. Who needs to monitor them now when we've become the Soviet Union? Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer transitioned to foreign intelligence. I'm not even going to go over all this HUMET stuff. Probably more HUMET experience than most people in special operations, period. OperationDarkHeart.com was his book they tried to censor and did excise parts out of, and that's still a bestseller out there, Operation Darkheart, bookstores everywhere. But I got to ask you this first, okay, and I want you to really, because we're getting down to the line, things are getting so crazy, who knows, it's a possibility we won't be on the radio in 3 months with the bunkers, all my military and police sources that I talked to personally, not just calling in. They're being told huge life-changing events in late October, early November. They're being told financial collapse, Iran war. We all know that doesn't mean that's going to happen, but that's what they're being told. The system likes to tell people, hey, we're going to war, or this is happening, to get everybody in gear. But all these preparations going on, you know, city clerks in Minneapolis saying it's a police state takeover. They admit special operations group out of Florida is training for confrontation scenarios. I've got Army manual FM3-3940 that we got. The Army responded 3 months ago and said, yeah, it's real. You shouldn't have it. It's for foreign resettlement and camps, but it's also for domestic, the 10 regions, how to process us with our social security numbers, how to take the political people and put them in a camp within a camp, just like X-ray, the 1.4 billion bullets bought in the last year, the armored giant wheeled tanks being delivered, just government is digging in against the people. They've announced Al-Qaeda is no longer the threat. Officially, we've been told it's white, conservative, libertarian, gun owners, returning veterans. We first got those documents 4 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, from Homeland, from a federal marshal and from a state police officer. People didn't believe it at the time. They later admitted it was accurate. I mean, I'm seeing a buildup I've never seen. This is probably, let's be conservative, 20 times any buildup I've ever seen in the past. And so, Colonel Schaefer, I'm asking you, we have you for the next hour, or the next 50 minutes. Be honest with us. Sure. What is going on? What is the military telling you? I mean, you know, I understand you can't talk about classified stuff, but, I mean, just be honest. As a citizen, what is going on, and what should we do as citizens?
Well, one of the first things, Alex, I'd like to point out that this trend of essentially using the military or planning to use the military is not new. And I know this may shock your audience, but I had friends coming to me as early as the 90s when the Clinton White House still existed, complaining about the fact that they had to do operational plans, which were not against foreign adversaries, which they were actually for contingencies within the United States. Now, you and I both know, and I worked to testify on this, was prohibited, by the way, back in 2005, regarding the issues regarding posse comitatus. I was actually prohibited by DOD from testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on this issue in September of 2005. And one of the aspects of this, obviously, and I think you and your audience clearly understand this, there needs to be a separation between police actions and military actions. The United States military was designed to be essentially an expeditionary unit, a capability, which would fight our foreign wars. And I think what we've seen is this internal look, which is, again, not new. I think what you're seeing now is a more visible,
rollout.
Yeah, rollout, if you will. But, again, this has been going on since the 90s. And I think one of the things that every president, Democrat, Republican, does not recognize this trend for what it is, which essentially is the potential for the U.S. government to abuse the power. And this is one of the things I will always say, and for your audience to know, look, Walter Jones is a dear friend of mine, so I want everybody, you know, truth in advertising here. He's been one of the voices looking at this. I mean, he's a conservative, and yet at the same time, he's very concerned about the fact that anytime you have power, you have the potential to abuse that power. And I think that's what a lot of us are saying. We all understand we need to have a strong military. We need to have a strong ability to use that military to defend the United States. However, one of the things that I've noticed, and I actually was on Fox News in July talking about the fact that DHS, Department of Homeland Security is now incorporated in its training. Now, this is what the DHS does to train local law enforcement. They have incorporated in their training the concept that, quote-unquote, freedom lovers should be looked at as potential terrorist organizations.
That's a quote.
That's a quote. And so I actually said on national TV, this is insane. You cannot try to disabuse yourself of the clear and factual evidence that the majority, the vast majority of real terrorism attacks over the past 12 years have been perpetrated, planned and perpetrated by radical Islamists. I'm sorry, that's the fact. And look, I have very dear Muslim friends who I'm still friends with on Facebook. I'm involved with a lot of things to try to look at how we can better understand each other and mitigate.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. Why are they trying? Because this is not denied. They say the number one threat is domestic veterans, conservatives, libertarians, who statistically have the lowest crime rate of anybody. That's just the department's own numbers. It is a lie. Why are they rebranding off of Muslim extremists onto Americans?
Well, I don't know. I think the only reason I can see is that this gives them a boogeyman to go after within the United States. And let me be very clear on this. And I said this in another radio interview. Sharia law cannot coexist within the context of our Constitution. My good friend Bruce Fine will tell you the same thing. He's studied the Constitution. There is no room for an alternate law system to sustain itself within our Bill of Rights. It just can't exist. With that said, the Bill of Rights is heavily defended by, as you and others take up arms, take up a very vocal perspective on this, and obviously the First through Tenth Amendment are our ability to
sustain. No, but you just had a good Freudian slip from your subconscious. Words are the more powerful weapon that you want to resort to first before you ever talk about physical. And you're right. I do assault tyrants with my words. It is a weapon.
And that's the point here. I think the Department of Homeland Security and their current training system is set up to actually go after anyone who exercises their rights within the Constitution, which to me is insane. Recently, and right here in Virginia, down in Richmond, there was a former U.S. Marine individual picked up because he had posted on his Facebook very definite. I think he used the word of wanting to cut people's heads off because of what he perceived as their violation of the Constitution. Well, you and I both know that he's not going to take a freaking axe and go cut off somebody's head. It was a figure of speech. Yet that got him incarcerated for about 5 days.
Well, he quoted a song saying, "I'm sharpening the axe."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how many rappers do you know who have actually said they're going to go out and kill cops, and in many cases have actually done so? So there's a clear assault on the First Amendment at this point in time. And this is one of those things which only those on the inside would really know their motivations. But when you combine that, when you combine this training trend by DHS to instruct local law enforcement to look at freedom lovers as a potential terrorist threat, you take time and resources away from real threats. That's my concern. That's what I've said several times.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Because I looked at the numbers. This is 10 times the ammo DHS has bought in the previous 9 years. No one has ever bought 1.4 million rounds of different handgun and rifle ammo for domestic operations. They're buying mobile armored pillboxes for the highways. They're rolling everything out. What is the word? What's coming?
Well, let me tell you something else is coming, and I think you guys have talked about this before, the drones. We're talking about 30,000 drones being up and running by 2020, or before that, really. You're talking about the FAA now writing rules, and I think it's something maybe you want to talk to Walter about when you have him on a little bit later. You know, no one has looked at the constitutional issues of the use of drones. You have FAA, which is a large bureaucracy, writing rules for use without even any regard of why and how they're going to be used regarding the First and Fourth Amendment. So you've got to consider that. In addition to that, when you look at the layering of capability, like you point out, this huge buy of bullets, this basic militarization of the police forces, one has to wonder, and this is where your audience and everybody should be asking a question, why? What threat has presented itself that requires this level of purchase? Have we had race riots or other riots in any major city of the United States? We haven't. We just went through the RNC convention. One of the things that DHS said they justified the purchase of all these weapons because, well, we think that there may be riots at the convention. Well, one convention's down, the next one's coming up next week, and nobody I've talked to indicates to me that they see any level of 1960s radical riots as we saw in the Democratic.
Yeah, but you couldn't use 1.4 billion rounds of ammo domestically. I mean, that would take years to use in a full-on war.
Literally. So I don't believe any answer given by the government so far is sufficient to explain what they're doing. And I think everybody should be demanding through their congresspeople, through their state and Senate representatives, what the heck's going on? Because I can't answer that question.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is our guest. Be sure and visit his website. We'll give you that address here in just a moment. Let me ask you this, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's FM3-39.40, Internment Resettlement Operations PDF. We've got all these others here in front of me. We've got a public document they put out on the National Guard website in multiple states saying that they are training for cordoning of cities, gun confiscations. So all this is now admitted, and this is newer training. I know this has gone on before at a smaller, you know, cadre level. Now it's going on across the board. Everybody I know that's in the Army, family I have that's in the Army, they tell me that in the last 3 years that even mechanics have been trained in riot control, that they're training everybody in riot control. Again, I know you don't like to speculate, but what are they gearing up for? I mean, it'd be one thing if they were getting ready for an Iran attack and they thought Iran might have some sleeper cells. That's special tactical units. You know more about that than I do. But, I mean, I'm correct. You don't fight a few terrorist groups with 1.4 billion bullets. You don't fight them with internment camps. You don't fight them with – I mean, the architecture of this military buildup is for mass takeover, targeting of states. I've talked to Army officers off record who said no. Whenever – Rick Perry joked and said, we'll secede, that they got the National Guard in five surrounding states on alert. We know when they said we're not going to, the Texas legislature unanimously in the House said no more groping, we're going to kick the TSA out. Obama said we're going to have an air embargo, and if you try to run it, F-16s will go after you. I mean, this is the stuff that started the Civil War. And I mean, I know I'm ranting, throwing these data points out at you, but this architecture from my layman research, is it not built to suppress the states, as we saw the county judge say out in Lubbock?
Well, I put your very point on my Facebook a while back. The Tenth Amendment requires that the states have a certain amount of responsibility. And frankly, everything you just talked about regarding riot control, regarding riot training, is all a National Guard function. I went through in 1981 basic training as a Guard soldier. My basic training differentiated from those at the federal level, because I had to actually go through riot gear training, because part of the state's duty, Alex, is to actually do things which are necessary to protect the civil population. So, Alex, I do believe that they have to have a better understanding. We all have to have a better understanding that you've got to allow the states to have that function. Every state has that responsibility. It is not a federal function. And so anytime I see these articles about the feds getting into riot control, buying gear, buying capability, to me, it's unconstitutional. That is clearly a state-level responsibility. The state guard units are trying to do that. And every governor, God bless them, has that responsibility. It's a Title 32 issue regarding our laws. The guard is funded through Title 32. I came up through the guard. The guard has a very distinctly different mission than the federal government. And so when you look at this, it has to be the states and the governors who actually call out this capability, not the feds. Because the moment the feds do it, they're trampling on states' rights, which, as you point out, resulted in the Civil War. And in this case, to me, it's a clear differentiation which always falls to the state. So, again, I have not seen anybody make an argument to me why the federal government should have this authority to come in and do, quote-unquote, riot control or coordinating cities, when really already the capability exists within the state level, and frankly, it is the state's responsibility.
Colonel Schaefer, I want to shift gears to international events and all the, you know, perspectives that you can give us from the inside on this new Navy SEAL book, Obama and this new movie, the story changed 100 times. You know, when you're the real guy that could have, with your men, killed bin Laden repeatedly, it's been admitted and we're ordered to stand down. So you're, I mean, perfect to be able to comment on this, probably the best person out there. So I want to get into those areas and the Iran situation. But what are your colleagues saying? Because, You know, I do have federal sources. Some of them dried up because people are so scared of the whistleblower persecution that's going on. They are using NSA, as you know, to surveil the police, the military, the FBI, all of them. They've been threatening ATF people. They exposed Fast and Furious. I mean, we're seeing authoritarianism its strongest in the federal government, trying to not have good people follow their oath. But what are your colleagues that are currently in the military? I know you still teach in the military and have those contacts. Are they concerned? Because from my sources, they've never been more concerned. And they say that elements of the federal government are looking at trying to take over the state, start a civil war, try to script, you know, saying domestic groups are the enemy, really trying to bring in an authoritarian takeover openly. Are you hearing any scuttlebutt in that area?
What I'm hearing is something that I think I encourage your audience to Google or check for themselves. Senator Ron Wyden has said some very provocative things about the classified implementation of the Patriot Act. And so what I can tell you from what I'm hearing, I can't tell you why I know it, but yeah, everything that's communicated, anything that's a 01, it travels through the internet or on the phone system, is being recorded by NSA. And I don't care what General Keith Alexander says. I know that he's been confronted on this by several reporters, and he always tries to change the subject. Everything that's being communicated is being recorded in some form. That's why they opened this big Utah facility. With that said, there needs to be a clearer understanding of oversight of that system, which brings me to my next point, which is what you want me to talk about here, is what's actually going on. Look, I do believe that power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So you've got to have someone watching the watchers. This is where Congress comes in and has to take a much stronger role in exercising its oversight responsibilities. We have elected officials by the people of the United States who do not have access to the very things they're funding. That is to say, and I think Walter will be willing to tell you this, he pays for things, he votes on things, and yet cannot oversee the very things he approves.
That's Congressman Walter Smith coming on later.
Walter Jones coming on in a few minutes, yeah.
And
I think that's one of the insanities of the current system. We have a lot of things going on in the federal government which people don't have clear understanding of. This goes back to what I blew the whistle on, where I believe certain things happened and were suppressed that could have resulted in other things. And regarding that, a lot of folks are working very hard. Judicial Watch is an organization that's constantly trying to get behind the scenes. And this goes to the issue of the Bigelow movie, Zero Dark Thirty. Judicial Watch just recently uncovered 4 linear inches of documents which were, quote-unquote, overlooked during the initial review, which indicates not only was the White House behind opening doors, they were trying to shape the story to show that the current president was very much involved in the, quote-unquote, assassination of bin Laden. Whether you believe that could be true or not, I'm not going to go into that debate at this point. But what is not within debate, what has been proven by these documents, is that the White House opened the doors to both CIA and DOD and gave Ms. Bigelow and her Hollywood types full access, which includes classified information, to help them film this movie. So
totally illegal. The president isn't even allowed to do that.
And this, on top of the other leaks, which have been clearly demonstrated, the Pakistani doctor Afraid being outed, the thing with the Yemen net being outed. There's a whole series of things, these things, which have been very clearly detrimental to our defense and our national security, and yet they've happened to continue to happen. And so we come to the book. No easy day. I'm going to tell you, as best as I know, this kid, for better or for worse, is very naive to what's going on around him. I don't know him. I know people who do know him. And frankly, this seems to be all about the money. Apparently, Alex, this kid was offered $1.something million in advance. That's a lot of money. And I don't mean to sound demeaning to him, but everything I'm hearing is that the kid walked into essentially a trap, if you will. My lawyer, Mark Zaid, has commented on this both publicly a number of times and within the context of what's going on. He thinks this kid is probably going to get a lot of trouble. Is the content real? Could be. I don't know about the content. I haven't seen the content of the book.
Tell you what, stay there. Let's break down the national security rules and what this book, No Easy Day, means. And again, they wouldn't let you publish your book for a long time. They grabbed it. They destroyed a bunch, if memory serves. And then they let it come out later. So how did this even get published through a major publisher? We'll be right back.
We're on the march.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Here we are back. Don't forget the online video bookstore. We've also got InfoWars.com camo and Hunter Orange caps that are quite handsome. All of your purchases make this syndicated radio show, my growing news organization, possible. We don't get a $500 million of banker bailout money like MSNBC. Or another $500 million in job stimulus to give Rachel Maddow a raise while cutting employees. We are 100% funded by you buying books, videos, T-shirts, materials, and our sponsors that you see at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And, of course, also your subscriptions at PrisonPlanet.tv to see the video, the three-hour radio show, and the nightly news, 7 o'clock Central every night. So please don't forget this growing platform, by the grace of God, despite all my faults, we've been able to reach 3 million people conservatively on the radio a day, over a million now with InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com combined. If you add in Twitter and Facebook and all their other systems, it is over 4 million people a day, if you count YouTube and all the rest of it, that we're reaching outside of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So you add it all together, we're approaching 8-9 million people a day, one way or the other. The system, well, FOIA requests have been done by Bob Barr's group and others, and it's come out. We are being spied on by Homeland Security. We are being watched. They see us as a terrorist threat. We're listed as extremists, and it's who knows what they'll do to us. This is a lawless foreign banking cartel that has declared they've captured our country, and they've declared those of us that are true Americans and know the Bill of Rights and Constitution and don't want to be slaves, that we're the enemy. It's kind of like we're in France, and the Vichy French have taken over and collaborated, and they're saying if we don't like Hitler, we're bad. I have to use that analogy because if it gets much worse with this military occupation and the rest of it and this slow implementation of tyranny, we're going to be in that position. And they will start grabbing people. You know, they're openly trying to start censor the web. CNET News has admitted, we're going back to our guests, that that the cybersecurity type legislation isn't pointed at protecting the Internet or commerce. I mean, the IRS gives out fake tax ID numbers to whoever wants them, for heaven's sakes. It's one of the biggest problems. It's pointed at shutting down free speech, and we're seeing more and more of that. So please stand up for the First Amendment and support our guests who've had a lot of courage. You know, they tried to, he doesn't talk about it, but they tried to persecute him and go after him when he spoke out to Congress about them not letting him kill bin Laden, his unit, his group, his operation. OperationDarkHeart.com is a real book that had real events that were proven by other separate books and insiders, not a work of fiction, that they censored. In fact, why don't you recap the censorship of that, and then comparing that Colonel Anthony Schaefer to this new book. I mean, I'm no expert, but I've never heard of a major publisher publishing something like this without authorization. I mean, they could be arrested for this. I mean, I get sent secret stuff, and it goes in a shredder if it's marked secret. I mean, I won't even investigate it because I know they could arrest me. So anybody in media knows this. Anybody in media understands this. And I don't believe it could have gotten to bookstores if somebody didn't want this out. And I agree with what you said. The White House, or you were implying, may have wanted this out and kind of set up this guy through the publisher, and then he ends up getting burned.
I think it's very possible. I think that's one of the scenarios we've talked about actually happening because, you know, between you and me, I don't think anybody would want to do something like this without some level of top cover. And just so your audience knows, I mean, there's been a real battle inside of DOD over my book. Some people support it because they know it's the truth. Others have tried to make it go away. And on that point, just to recap very quickly, Darkheart tells a story of one of our first shots going and getting Dr. Alman Zawahiri, who was hanging out at a place called Wana, Pakistan in 2003. And for any number of bizarre reasons, I won't give away the entire content of the book, things went against us and he decided not to do it. Which obviously allowed Zawahiri and bin Laden and everybody else to hang out in Pakistan for a long time. Zawahiri is still hanging out over there. We did disclose within that book elements of Operation Able Danger, which was our pre-9/11 operation looking at going after al-Qaeda offensively that was shut down right before 9/11 as well. So all those things are in the book, and frankly, I think there's more issues still in that book that people don't want to be talked about who are still in DOD. And I think that's one of the reasons that...
Well, go over the history. They blocked its publishing for a while, right? Then grabbed it and a bunch of stuff.
We went through two separate reviews. Had to have it cleared twice. And so unlike this Navy SEAL, we actually tried to cooperate from day one, went through the process they gave us, and then right at the 11th hour when certain folks figured out, oh my goodness, this book says things we don't like, they did it. They pulled it back. They destroyed 10,000 copies, as you pointed out. And it was all done under the quote-unquote issue of security. Let me be clear with your audience. We have a First Amendment lawsuit against DOD for the abuse of the First Amendment because we believe we can prove in court that everything in my book in the unredacted copy is unclassified. We believe we can prove that. And yet over a year now, we have been fighting DOD for our day in court. That's how much they're fighting.
Because it's an embarrassing story. It's not one they want told. No. But this propping up the fairy tale with how Obama told it of the burial at sea, and they're watching it live on feeds, which they admitted wasn't true, on and on and on. They want this published backing up their story. They don't want your book out.
Exactly. So it's one of those things that's been a clear pattern by this White House that if they want something out, they'll be the first to leak it. It's almost as if the New York Times is their outlet for classified information. At the same time, if you have people trying to come forward and tell the truth, they're immediately pounced upon. As you pointed out, there's been a war against whistleblowers that has been unlike any other in any other administration. So I think what we're seeing here is this as long as that narrative that they like supports what they want to have people think, they'll let it be leaked. If there's any criticism or contrary information which tells the truth, they don't care. They will pounce on people. So I think that's the one issue that I think everybody needs to be concerned about. The truth is the truth is the truth. And I think that should be what everybody seeks in this case. And frankly, this book, I don't know how much of it. I have not seen it yet. I've only seen some reviews of it. And I think this narrative is going to be something I think sets the record straight. But again, it could be the record that the White House wants set straight, not one which may reflect the total truth of the situation. Let me say one other thing real quick. A reporter named Kim Dvorak from the she writes for one of the online report I'm sorry newspapers for I think it's the Examiner did a story back when Bin Laden was killed talking about the quote unquote eerie parallels between Operation Darkheart and Operation Geronimo, because according to her, and I can't confirm this, what we came up with for Operation Darkheart was actually the format used for the raid on Bin Laden. So I can't confirm or deny that, but I'm just saying go check out her article and read for yourself.
Interesting. Now, shifting gears into the larger geopolitical situation, recap, because I remember you being on the show with your predictions and others' predictions of what would happen in Libya, what the geopolitical strategy is of wrecking that country with somebody working with the West, putting in the jihadis, al-Qaeda flags over major cities, lining up black Africans, shooting them. And then now what's happening in Syria, where they, and the CFR 3 weeks ago came out and said, quote, we need al-Qaeda. And news is like, wow, al-Qaeda's getting the job done. I mean, this is just amazing. They're saying the TSA needs to, you know, take my four-year-old in the back room and abuse him, or needs to grab my wife's breast, or needs to grab my genitals or Ron Paul's, as they tried to do in Florida a few days ago on a private jet. They wanted to search him and his wife and check for bombs that he, you know, because he might be a threat to Mitt Romney. This, I mean, Ron Paul's public video was shot of this. So Ron Paul can't be trusted. But al-Qaeda can be given 10,000 missiles, 2,000 of them, each seeking a radar guided out of Libya. That's not an issue. NATO can fly al-Qaeda in to Turkey and other areas to insert them, to infiltrate Assad's regime. I mean, this is so they can kill the Christians. I mean, how have we gotten to this point? And is the military concerned about putting al-Qaeda into Syria? And what do you think the grand plan is of this?
I don't think there is a grand plan. That's part of our problem as a DOD. We don't have a global strategy. One of the things that was notable, at least during the Cold War, is we had kind of an enemy we all looked at and we understood. We don't have that now, and I think what you're seeing is chaos. Our military today is reticent, and I've talked to a lot of folks, as you have. A lot of folks don't believe that we need to be looking at going to war. We need to be looking at only using military force when necessary. I think we have an overabundance of evidence that we need to be more to step out of getting involved in local conflicts. The conflict in Libya resulted in, as you pointed out, I predicted that we would see the chaos we now see, that tribalism would be the real result, which is what we have. We still have literally thousands of surface-to-air missiles missing. I don't know how that's in our best interest, and I don't think we've seen the end of bad consequences coming out of Libya. We go to Syria. Syria is one of those situations where I think people like John McCain are insane, and let me be very clear, are insane to be calling for military intervention by us. As if we didn't learn our lesson from Lebanon and the Marine Corps barracks bombing and the embassy bombing back in the 80s. We've got to be much more careful about how we involve ourselves. And frankly, allowing for al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood to take a stronger role against Assad is not in our best interest. I think we should be looking at how we can get Assad to move along. But I think the social construct, the whole country of Syria is, for better or for worse, a modern republic of some form. It should be a transition into a republic. Right now you have a dictator in the form of Assad. I believe if you replace Assad with a group that can transition that country, you're much better off than allowing total chaos to come in. The moment that government falls, you will see another Libya. And I think the consequences of this will be far worse because this government has weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons, and frankly, you could see an entire expansion of conflict throughout the region. So I'm not for the blind use of force of us coming in and taking sides. We all, I think, would agree something needs to be done to stop the killing. But dismantling of the central government and seeing that military devolve into what we saw the Iraqis devolve into after we got rid of the Iraq government and the military is not in our best interest. So I don't think we have a clear course we're going forward on.
Sure. Colonel Schaefer, you're a smart guy. I mean, there's no doubting that. And you're a gentleman and you like to just stick to the facts. But when you say it's chaos, that's from perspective of someone like you that really wants to spread 1776 worldwide. You want freedom. You want a fair shake for everybody. You support the Bill of Rights Constitution. And so you look through that lens. But I know you're not naive. I mean, the globalists have bragged, the foreign corporate interests that manipulate our government, that they want chaos. They want a Shiite-Sunni civil war. They want tribalism. They don't want to build up Syria. They don't want to make that place a nice place, just like they threw out Mossadegh in 1953 in Iran and replaced him with, tyrants. They want the strategy of divide and conquer, destabilization, deindustrialization. Our country did have the policy in the 40s and 50s and 60s to build up the world, and then it started shifting by the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now it's wreck everything, which is really kind of a British model. I'm not saying the British run it, but it's that British model of divide and conquer. And I find it an extremely immoral and evil system. And I see them using the Al-Qaeda threat to take my liberties. And that makes me very mad. That makes me really take it personal that I can't take my children on trips because, these scum want to put their hands all over them. And I want it to stop. And only this Al-Qaeda myth is holding it up. And I just don't see how we can logically say Al-Qaeda are good guys. I know you're not saying that. And are helping bring down Assad. And they got missiles. That's okay. But I've got to have my rights taken away. And they got to have TSA at the shopping malls. I mean, I'm ranting here. But, I mean, come on. I think there is a method to this madness. It's destabilization.
Well, the whole TSA thing is out of control. Let me be very clear. I go to New York very often. One of my favorite ways to travel is Amtrak, Excella. And let me tell you, the Amtrak security folks have done a credible job for years. And they do random searches, they profile, oh my God, what a word to say, and they look for people to be, some anomaly to actually pull someone aside and talk to them. Imagine that. And they have dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, they run them around, I have no problem with that. And yet, for some bizarre reason, TSA wants a piece of that action. They want to get involved. Why? There's no reason. It's a secure prospect. Amtrak knows what it's doing. You travel without having to go through onerous searches, and yet somehow TSA wants to get in. This is the problem with what we're faced with right now. We have an out-of-control bureaucracy, and frankly, again, Congress is not doing its job. The way Congress should deal with this is cutting back the freaking TSA budget and, frankly, asking them to account for everything they're doing. They are truly, not profiling people. I don't believe TSA is making anybody safer by doing this charade of looking at the diapers of four-year-olds. And I think this is one of the things we as Americans have to take a very hard look at. And, yeah, the whole idea of Al-Qaeda being good one day and bad the other is insane. If you have radicals who are out to destabilize or see a Muslim caliphate come to fruition, they're not our friends. So you have to understand the larger picture here. I think everybody does. And we cannot accept onerous security in our own borders for an enemy who, frankly, is there, but not as monolithic as we might make him out to be.
Well, Eisenhower said, if you want security, go live in a prison.
Right. And that's the thing. Let's look at the threat. How many attacks have come over the past 10 years? Where have they come from? And look at how those were perpetrated. We had the underwear bomber part two almost perpetrated. And of course, the administration leaked that to the detriment of and now the Al-Qaeda guys know how we figured it out. So that came from an external source. There's been other radicals like Major Hassan and Nidal Hassan who have been radicalized. That is an active threat that we need to look at.
And it turns out, though, they knew that he was talking to these people and let him continue for 2 years.
Right, exactly. So that's my point. We need to look at where we know the threats to be, not to look at four-month-old, four-year-old's diapers. It's insane. We've got to get past this perception. Again, I think the government does a lot of things to create the perception of security, but in effect, obviously, they have not protected us against the real threat.
Sure, but it's more than security theater. It's a power grab.
I think in many ways, especially with TSA, it is. And again, this goes back to Congress reeling them in. I'd like to believe that people are waking up to the fact that at certain airports have already said, we want to get rid of TSA. We should make it easier for them to get rid of TSA, because TSA is another government bureaucracy, which now, because of its size, is more focused on its own self-continuation than actually protecting the American people.
Final segment with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who has written the best-selling book, Operation Darkheart. You can go to the website and find it, OperationDarkheart.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. I want to ask him about the Iran attack, the big news. And we've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in the Jerusalem Post, Dempsey, saying, I don't want to be complicit in Iran's strike. We'll talk about that straight ahead.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
My name is Frank Bates, and I've got some urgent news for you. Did you know that a solar storm in 1989 caused an enormous blackout in Quebec? Here's the really bad news. Experts are predicting that solar storms will get really severe over the next year, and our electric grid is extremely vulnerable. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reported that we could soon face blackouts lasting weeks or months, leaving major parts of the USA temporarily uninhabitable. Are you prepared for this coming crisis? Watch the video at 123offgrid.com for a simple trick for generating your own off-grid power so that no matter what happens, your home will be a little island of light and warmth, even if it's dark everywhere else. And as a nice little bonus, you'll also slash your power bill. Protect your home by watching the free video at 123offgrid.com. Simply do what the video at 123offgrid.com says, and you'll be more prepared than 98% of people. Go to 123offgrid.com now, 123offgrid.com.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from Carnivora.com. That's Carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit Carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band.
Declaring their independence. They laid their bodies down in a bloody war.
Laid their bodies down on a bloody war.
For liberty for their descendants.
For their descendants.
And now they're called
thanks
the number one domestic terror threat. If you say, hey, I want the Bill of Rights, I want the Constitution, I want the Second Amendment, I want states' rights, oh, you're the number one terror threat, you're who we're watching. Well, that means then that you hate the spirit of this country. You hate George Washington. It really comes down to that. We've got about 5 minutes left with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, best-selling author, researcher, amazing story. You got to check out his site and his book. You can't put it down. It's so informative, and he obviously knows a lot more. He can't tell us. Someday he'll be able to, though. In closing, the Iran situation, I'm sure you've seen Dempsey, who's usually been pretty hawkish. That's why they kept getting rid of the different chairmen. He's in the Jerusalem Post and everywhere else saying that Israel's moving towards a strike, and he's now distancing himself. That's kind of creepy. Does that lean towards an attack or against it? What intel are you getting?
Well, there's two things. Remember, the whole regimen of sanctions, day late, dollar short, not going to work. Irrelevant. Hard currency still going into the Iranians, so I think we might as well give that up. If they really wanted to be looking at the almost certainty that the Iranians will develop a nuclear weapon, my sources tell me they've already got two. They do. Question becomes, what do they do with them? I don't think they know what to do with them. It's something that they understand at this point, and we understand that if they ever use a nuclear weapon, they would suffer huge consequences. I don't think there's any question of that. The problem is this. To actually do an attack, a conventional attack using aircraft, they're talking right now, there's over 300 known sites. That's known sites that are involved in the Iranian nuclear program. Keep in mind, there's sites we don't know about. Obviously, that's just the known ones. And to actually attack those using aircraft would be hugely difficult. So this is where I think the general's coming from. It's like, you know, the idea of using an attack may not actually net us what we want, which is to shut down the Iranian nuclear program. I think that cow is long out the barn door. So what we, I think, need to focus on is the fact the Iranian people are Persians, and they have their own green movement, which is a democracy movement. And I think we need to encourage their own people to think about, do you really want a government which is actually out to, you know, poke other people in the eye to create the conditions for war? Because, frankly, the Iranian government, the mullahs and the guy in charge, is all about making some pretty big rhetoric talking about trying to use their weapons to kill others. With that said, there needs to be a distinction made between the Iranian government and the Iranian people. We don't want to do anything to make the Iranian people our enemies. So this is where I think we have to have a deeper strategy in understanding the situation and to understand who the good guys are and who the bad guys are.
Let me ask you this, because you've got to go soon, or maybe you could stay 5 more minutes. We're going to break here in just 1 minute. Look, I don't want a war, and I want to see Iran become a freer country. But why are there mullahs and people saying we're going to blow Israel up? And they really are saying that now. It's like they want this war to happen. That's crazy.
That is crazy, and that's one of the things I've said before. We need to look at the Reagan approach to things, where if I were President Obama, I would have 3 U.S. carrier groups there all the time, one in the Mediterranean, one in the Red Sea, one in the Persian Gulf, ready to go, and say, while we don't want war, the moment we think you're going to do anything aggressive, we will kick your ass. And I think that's the approach we need to look at taking, because obviously I don't think what we're doing right now is not going to stop.
All right, I know you got to go, but we got a 60-second break. Just give me 5 more ahead of Congressman Walter Jones joining us. Because he's joining us after that, just to break down a little more on Iran. Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay, great. Back in 60 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got globalists that have hijacked our country, and then you've got all these other countries run by their lunatic leaders. We're in a lot of trouble.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. You've got the life straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. the KTOR hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. TheraSafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.